Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
And God said, and can I give a shout out to Brother Rob Strouch, who made this huge and sign. He did a marvelous job. So every time you see an and sign, I want you to know that there is a word from God that will see you through. Every time you see this, remember, and God said. So our scripture today, it's going to be real quick. So if you want to hop up real quick, Luke 1:37, you've heard me say it. NIV version says, for no word from God shall ever fail. KJV says, for nothing shall be impossible with God. You may be seated. No word from God shall ever fail. And today we're going to talk about the value of obedience to the word of God. And if you want stability in your life, stand on the word. If you want stability in your home, build your house upon the rock. Psalms 18:29. Now this is how I feel every time I read the word. And I pray that you feel this way as well. But Psalms 18:29, it's David writing this, and he says, in your strength I can crush an army. With my God I can scale any wall. So when you leave here today, I want you to walk out those doors with your head held high, knowing that whatever obstacle comes your way, you can crush it. In the name of Jesus, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever family matter, you can crush it in the name of Jesus through the Holy Ghost. Amen? So we need to stand on the word. And any wall that is built up against you, number one, your faith can move mountains, so you can just move that wall out of the way, or you can scale that wall. God's just going to build you a ladder, and you can just get right over it in Jesus' name. Amen? So that's how I want you to feel when you read the word of God and when you leave here today. And this is going to be a call back to the word of God. Jeremiah said, I devoured the word, and it satisfied my soul. David said, I take delight in God's commands. And we know God's commands is his word, right? We must not only embrace the promises found in the word of God. The promises are good. The promises are yea and amen. But we must also embrace and accept the correction, the direction, and the reproof found in the word of God. It seems that not only the world is slipping away from the word, but also the church. But we need to recalibrate our hearts with the word of God. We need to examine our own hearts, examine our thoughts, and recalibrate this morning to the word of God. So I want to share with you some scary statistics, if that's okay. They're scary and sad, but one statistic shows that 80% of churchgoers do not read the Bible daily. That means us in here, only 20% are reading their word daily for themselves. 80% are not. Another showed only 19% of people who claim to be Christians personally read the Bible every day for themselves. That means just Christians in general, whether they go to church or not, only 19% are reading the word. And yet another, but even more shocking statistic is only 9% of millennials are reading the Bible daily. That is unacceptable. And I'm a millennial, I could say that. But can I just talk to you if you're single in here? If you're not reading the word of God, stay single. If you're not reading the word of God every day for yourself, you're not ready. So read the word of God every day for yourself. That's for free. That was for fun. Because I'm married. It's easy for me to say. But I'm reading my word every day to keep my marriage together. Amen? So have you ever heard the word hangry? Hangry. So you're so hungry, you get angry? That's me. You'll catch me between services eating Cheetos in my office. And then I'm asking, this happened last week. Brandon, do I have any cheese dust on my face? That happened because I get hangry. Jaden, can it, amen? Like, if I don't eat in between services, I'm hangry. You are not you when you're hungry? Well, the world is starving. They're not even getting Cheetos. They are starving for the word of God. But did you know that we also have malnourished Christians? We're malnourished. We're not reading the word of God. And there's malnourished Christians operating on flimsy theology, because they do not know the word of God for themselves. See, I can't count on Bishop and Pastor Brandon to give me a word every day. They're here for me Wednesdays and Sundays, and Brandon's there for me every day, but there's got to come a bottom line to where I get the word of God for myself, where I don't ride the coattails of any man, and I get the word for myself. We must come back to the word of the Lord, and not just come back to it, but love it and live it. So I was scrolling through my social media. Does anybody still have Facebook? I've been told that's for old people. Praise the Lord. I just plucked a gray hair or white hair from my head that was shooting out like a unicorn. So I'm old, y'all. It's happening before my very eyes. But so I was scrolling through Facebook, and there was a video. And this video was of a box being delivered in China to a room full of people. And I didn't know what was inside the box at first. But the people in the room rushed the box. And I thought, okay, maybe it's money. Maybe it's chocolate. I don't know. Maybe it's something really, really good that they want to get their hands on that they can't get anywhere else. So these men and women in China in a room, box delivered, rush the box. And when I find out what it is, my heart just explodes. It's Bibles. They rush to that box and they get out a Bible. Some clutch it to their chest and fall to their knees. Others kiss it and raise it to the heavens. And some just hold it dearly, with tears streaming down their face, because they know the words within the book bring life. They know the words within the book bring salvation and healing and deliverance and freedom. So they hold it closely and dearly. But I share that story with you to tell you, don't take for granted the availability of the Word of God. We can download the Word on our phone now. We can go down to Dollar Tree or Walmart and buy a Bible today. We can order on Amazon and get any Bible we want in 2 days. So we must not take for granted the availability of the Word of God. Seek Him while He may be found. Seek Him while He may be found. Find a renewed passion for the Word. There must be a spark of life within us that fully understands we need the Word. Our souls need the Word of God like our lungs need oxygen. Like, that's how much you should crave the Word of God, that you need it. And I refuse to let the Word of God die in my heart. I refuse to let the Word of God die in my house. I refuse to let the Word of God die in my children or in my marriage. I refuse to let the Word of God die in this ministry. I refuse to let the Word of God die at Living Way, because Living Way was founded on the Word, and it will remain founded on the Word of God. Can I speak to the parents in here? Read the Word to your children. If you have a child that can't read for themselves, read the Bible to them. Teach them the value of the Word of God. When they go to sleep, read them a scripture. When they wake up, read them a scripture, because you're teaching them the importance of the Word of God. You're teaching them that what God says matters. And there's an attack on our children. See, you need your teenagers to read the Word. Oh, they're busy. They're doing this. They're doing that. They need to know the Word of God, because there's an attack on their mind. But the Word of God heals. The Word of God sets free. The Word of God beats anxiety. The Word of God helps. The Word of God guides. Why wouldn't you want that for your children? Get the Word to your children. Get the Word to your children and get them in the house of God. I'm blessed because the Holy Ghost got my children before I could get to them. But they're involved. Get your children involved. Wake them up. Make them brush their teeth. Wipe the sleep out of their eyes and get them to church. We have a great youth ministry called Catalyst. Get them to Catalyst. We have Sunday school for your littles. Get them to Sunday school. Get them to Catalyst Kids, 3 to 12. We're there every Wednesday night for your children. But get your children to understand the value of obedience to the Word of God. And it's not just enough for them to be told, hey, read your Bible. Read your Bible. They need to see you reading your Bible. They need to see you overcome with the Holy Ghost. They need to see tears streaming down your cheeks because you're so in awe of the presence of God. They need to see you with a hand uplifted in this altar. They need to see you bend a knee and pray. I remember watching my mom just praise and worship, and then at 5 a.m. every morning, without fail, right beside my bedroom, she would pray. And I don't know why she chose right beside my bedroom to pray at 5 a.m. when I was trying to sleep, but I'm thankful that she did. Because now I know the importance of prayer. And now I know some of those prayers are still getting me through my life. So you need to teach your children the value of obedience to the Word of God. And they need to see you obeying the Word. Come back to the Word, because we cannot give what we do not have. I cannot give you anything if I don't have anything stored up within me. How can I be a light if I'm dark within? I have to keep feeding my soul the Word of God so I have something to give. Because the Bible says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. You should be hopeful. There should be a light coming from you. There should be a difference that people can see in you, because you have Jesus living and dwelling on the inside of you. Amen? We need to have conversations about the goodness of God within our homes. See, they need to hear the Word of God from your lips. They need to see your life follow the Word of God. Men and women, rise up, pick up your word, and lead your house. Lead your house. And can I talk to the mighty men of God? It was never the woman's responsibility to be the spiritual head of the household, to be the spiritual leader. She can pick up that responsibility and do it if she has to. But that responsibility falls on you, man of God. Be spiritually aware for your house. Know the attacks that are coming and pray for your household. Lead them, defend them. Hold up your shield of faith and say, Lord, I got my family because I know you got me. So mighty men of God, pick up your word and lead your house. We must speak the word with power and authority. In Genesis, God showed the power of his word through creation. Now I'm going to read you a lot of word, but the word is good and the word is true. So here we go. Are you ready? Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and it was so. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into the place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit-bearing trees, and it was so. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and it was so. Everything comes back to what God has said. Everything in your life comes back to what God has said. The solar system runs by the word of God. The sun, moon, and stars exist because of the word of God. Seed time and harvest occur according to the word of God. And the same God who has spoken over all creation has spoken over you. Can you just close your eyes and think about that for just a second? Just close your eyes. The God who has spoken over all creation has spoken a word for you. Yes. Hallelujah. You can open your eyes. It's about time that we are able to say, and God said, and it was so. And God said, I am healed, and it was so. And God said, I am free, and it was so. And God said, I am delivered, and it was so. And God said, my family is saved, and it was so. And God said, the prodigal shall come home, and it was so. And God said, the Holy Ghost shall fall on the people in this generation, and it was so. Hallelujah. It's time we are able to say, and God said, and it was so. We must come back to the word of God fully and completely. Stand on his word, unashamed, unwavering, unmoved. His word shall accomplish that which it is set out to do. If you really think about it, the only offensive weapon we have in the spiritual realm is the sword of the Spirit, which we know is the word of God. So if you want to take ground and advance against the enemy, if you want to take ground for your family, if you want to take ground for your marriage, then you are going to need to stand upon the word of God. I want to tell you a testimony about a decade ago, and I told this to the ladies. When you can say a decade ago, you know you're aging. But a decade ago, there was a man that came in, and he shared his testimony here at Living Way. And I told the man, I said, you know, I love your testimony, but you know who I really want to meet? Is your mama. Because listen to his testimony. He said he was shot, he died, and was in the morgue. But when they called his mom said, nope, not today, devil. She went down to the morgue and she began to pray and she began to stand on the word of God. And she said, and God said, my son shall live and not die. And she repeated, and God said, my son shall live and not die. And my God said, my son shall live and not die. And God breathed life back into her son's body. That is the power of the word of God. God can breathe life into your situation. His word shall sustain you. His word will give you strength. His word will give you peace. His word will give you hope. But we have to obey it. When you make your life follow the word follows you. See, the promises of God follow me because I follow the word. When you follow the word follows you. Nothing beats obedience to the word of God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifices are your obedience to his voice. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. Full obedience is what brings about the full promise. Full obedience brings about the full promise. Be very careful not to give God fragmented obedience. Do I have any parents out there that are parents of teenagers? Do you just love it when your teenager ignores everything you say? Don't you think God wants obedience from us like we want obedience from our children? Is he not the good father? So today I'm going to give you 4 points to the value of obedience to the word of God. All right, are you ready for them? Number one, the longevity of your obedience matters. The longevity of your obedience matters. And God said to Noah, make yourself an ark. You see, in the time of Noah, God said his spirit would not contend with man forever, and he gave man 120 years. And within that 120 years, he spoke to a man named Noah, and he said, Noah, build an ark, because the flood is going to come. So Noah walked with God and talked with God and followed every detail that God gave him to build the ark. And then the flood came. But Noah was obedient. So his family was spared from the flood, and they raised with the ark. But I want to tell you right now, for somebody that's going through something, obedience does not prevent the flood. The flood's going to come. Obedience raises the standard against the enemy. Because we know in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So you know that you have a Savior who can walk on water. So it doesn't matter how high those floodwaters get in your life, because Jesus can raise up the standard for you. And it says he will be with you through deep waters. He will be with you through deep waters. Keep fighting for your faith. Keep trusting the word of God. His word will see you through. You will stand on the other side of the flood. You will stand on the other side of the flood. Be obedient during the trials. Be diligent to the details. Your longevity and obedience matter. See, it took a long time before the flood came, but Noah was obedient. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for the promise of Isaac. 25 years they were obedient to the same word. Jessica and Eddie, 9 years. To the same word. To the same promise. And here they sit, pregnant with their baby boy. Can you be obedient to the same word today and tomorrow and the next and a year from now and 2 years from now and a decade from now and 2 decades from now? Can you be obedient to the same word? Do not give up on the word of God because of how long it takes to get. Do not give up on the word of God. So my question to you is, what have you given up on that has not come to pass, but you know the Lord has given you the word? Do not give up. Can you still be hungry after all these years? Can you still be thirsty after all these years? His word will not go unfulfilled. No word from God shall ever fail. Don't give up on something because of the duration of time it takes to get. Trust the process God has taken you through. His word will not fail. Stand on God's word no matter how long it takes. Sometimes we need to just slow down, take a breath, and trust God's word. The longevity of your obedience matters. Number two, others depend on your obedience to the word. Others depend on your obedience to the word of God. Is that fair? No. Is it true? Yes. And God said to Moses, raise your staff and stretch forth your hand over the water so the Israelites can pass on dry ground. See, here Moses is, and God's saying, the Red Sea's in front of you. And Moses is like, I can see it. I'm here. I'm standing at it. And he has Israelites behind him, his brother beside him. And God says, stretch forth your hand and raise your staff over the waters. Okay, Lord, but there's the sea in front of me. There's something blocking. But he obeys. He's obedient to the word of God, stretches forth his hand, raises his staff over the Red Sea. And we know what God does, don't we? He parts the Red Sea, and the Israelites walk upon dry ground. But they are allowed to walk on dry ground because the obedience of Moses to stretch forth his hand. Your obedience matters to other people. And even if you don't know it or they don't know it, your obedience matters. People are depending on your obedience to the word of God. Your children are depending on your obedience to the word of God. Your marriage is depending on your obedience to the word of God. I asked this at conference. I was like, you know what keeps Brandon and I married? And they were like, love. And I was like, yeah, okay, yes. But also the word of God. Because what God has put together, I'm going to let no man put asunder. So the word keeps us together. Your coworkers, your unsafe coworkers, that crazy boss of yours, they're dependent on your obedience to the word of God. You see, what they don't understand is the residue of your obedience is bringing blessing upon the office. The residue of your obedience is bringing protection around the building. So the word is following you where you go. So you keep being that prayer warrior at your office. You keep being that woman or that man that quotes scripture to your coworkers or to your boss. Be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the gospel of Jesus Christ will not fail you. No word from God will ever fail. So you keep being that woman who takes the praise break during her lunchtime. You keep being that person that says, just let me give my God glory 1 minute because I know this was him. You keep on being that person because your obedience matters. People are depending on your obedience. Your obedience to God's word will bless those around you. We see many times in the land, in the Bible, that people are blessed and protected because of the righteousness of one. Be that one. And keep growing in the word of God because God can reveal something new to you on every page. Like Bishop said this morning, he found a new scripture and he's been living for God a long time that he hadn't preached from. So you can read the same verse 50 times and get 50 different things from it. Right. So keep reading the word. It's alive, it's quick, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Remember, your obedience to faith matters because those who follow you will be blessed by your obedience. Number three, your obedience should not be swayed by others' opinions. This is going to be a really fun one. For me, maybe not for you. Your obedience should not be swayed by others' opinions. And God said to Joshua, go and possess the land I have promised. But see, before Joshua could take Jericho, there was a land called Canaan. And if you know that story, they sent out 12 spies into the land. And we hear that the 10 spies come back and they say, we cannot take that land that God has promised us. Because we are like grasshoppers in their sight. They are giants. They are warriors. We can't take the land. So you're going to have some, what I like to call, spiritual pokers. Just spiritual pokers. Don't even get me started on Facebook posts, because that's weird. That concerns me and confuses me. So as nicely as I can say this, quit poking people. That's as nicely as I can say it, but like even in like the physical, like when somebody pokes me, is that aggravating to you? Because that's really aggravating to me. But they just poke and poke and poke. Well, you have spiritual pokers that just poke. They want to poke holes in your faith. And you're like, oh no, don't poke the bear, don't poke the bear. And they're like, I'm going to poke the bear. And they just poke every button you have. So they're spiritual pokers. You have to be very careful because that's what the 10 spies were. They were poking holes in what God said. God said to take the land. I have promised you this land. But they're saying, but they're big. They're strong. we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do it. But you need to get a Caleb in your life. See, Caleb said, okay, everybody be quiet. Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. You need to get a Caleb in your life that says, if God said it, we can do it. If God says you can have it, you can have it. If God says you can do it, you can do it. If God says you're healed, then you're healed. Hallelujah. Get a Caleb in your life. Be a Caleb for somebody else. Don't be a spiritual poker. Don't be a physical poker. Don't be a Facebook poker. There are going to be two types of people in your life. That's it, just two. Those who believe the word and those who don't. So which ones are you going to let whisper in your ear? Which ones are you going to let talk you out of something or talk you into something? And you will always have that someone in your life that has something to say. Always. At Thanksgiving, you have an auntie or an uncle. They always got something to say about something. Always. We all know that someone. But you don't need everybody's life update. You don't need their play-by-play. You don't need their opinion. What you need is the word of God. Some people you need to straight up block. Just block them in real life and in social media because they're not good for you. They're not good for you. You're going to have hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are going to express their opinion to you in your lifetime. So you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. What do you believe? If I asked you right now, what do you believe? Why do you believe it? You better be ready to have an answer because your life depends on it. What do you believe and why do you believe it? If their opinion does not line up with the word of God, I cannot take their opinion. Not everyone should have a seat at the table of your mind. Not everyone should have a seat at the table of your mind. If your friends negate the word of God, tempt you, hurt you, poke holes in your faith, then why are you friends with them? Not everyone deserves a follow. Not everyone deserves access to your mind. Psalm 17:4, because I like to back up what I'm saying with the word of God. Psalm 17:4, David is writing again. He said, I have followed your commands, which keep me from following cruel and evil people. Not everyone should have the privilege of being in your life. Being in your life is a privilege. If you let somebody in your life, they should be honored. Like, if I let you in, there's a reason. I see something in you. But if you let me in your life, same thing. I am honored to be in your life. It is a privilege to be in somebody's life. Not everyone should have the privilege of giving you counsel. Make sure you are seeking out counsel from God-fearing, Bible-knowing, reputable people. Know who is giving you counsel. You can't just straight up come to my face and give me counsel because I don't know you like that. But if I do know you like that and you have fruit, and your fruit remains, then I'm going to take advice from you. Be careful who gives you counsel. Your obedience is impacted by who you listen to. Don't let anyone steal the word. And lastly, obedience to the word overcomes impossible odds. And God said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. Now Gideon is faced with a choice. See, he's about to go into war against hundreds of thousands of men. Hundreds of thousands of men. And God's telling him to take 300. So Gideon's option is, go to battle with my thousands without God. Or go to battle with 300 selected by God and God on my side. I think I'm going to go with Gideon and say, all I need is God. If God is on my side, I cannot lose. If God fights for me, I can't lose. I can't fail because no word from God shall ever fail. Obedience is greater than impossible odds because God doesn't know impossible. He only knows possible. For he is God, and his word shall not fail. Some of you in here might feel like you're in the battle of your life. But God said he goes before you and prepares a way for you. God is fighting for you. For every trial, need, and hurt, and want, there is a word to stand on. And every life has ebbs and flows. I hope you know that my life isn't perfect. Sometimes it's a good day, sometimes it's a bad day. Every life has ebbs and flows, but we must obey God in both. So I'm going to share with you a story really quick of Job's wife. See, most of us know the story of Job. We know that Job suffered greatly, and he was tested, but he trusted God. But just as Job was tested, I feel like Job's wife was tested, because the same possessions that Job lost, Job's wife lost. The same children that Job lost, Job's wife lost. So the same struggle of the husband, the wife went through, and she lost children and she lost possessions. And the difference between Job and Job's wife, while Job's wife suffered through it, Job trusted through it. So whatever you're going through, I ask you not to suffer through it, but I ask you to stand on the word and trust God through it, because he will get you through the valley of the shadow of death, because he is with you. His rod and his shield shall comfort you. He shall gather you under his feather and protect you. Hallelujah. I know the word works. I know the word works. The word worked when I was born crippled and God straightened my crooked limbs. The word worked when the doctors had to reverse my mom's lupus report. The word worked when my dad was diagnosed with cancer, had cancer treatment, had surgery to remove the cancer, and he stands on the other side of the cancer with the doctors telling him he is cancer-free. I know the word of God works. The word worked when my great nephew was told that he didn't have a kidney. They looked on the sonogram and they said, "Sweetheart, your baby doesn't have a kidney. He needs a kidney." So what did we do? We prayed and we stood upon the word of God, because no word from God shall ever fail. So they looked again and had another sonogram. And when they looked again, don't you know there was a kidney there? So God created a kidney from nothing because he spoke it into existence. Hallelujah. And that's just physical things. Can I tell you that God also works in our minds and our hearts? See, I remember about 10 years ago when they had purple chairs sitting up here, and, you know, pastors would sit up here and I would sit up there, and I was just a young girl trying to make it as a preacher's wife and a mom, and I would get anxiety so bad. My heart would beat out of my chest. I would dig my nails into my palms just so I wouldn't jump out of my skin. I know the anxiety some of you deal with. But then I stood on the word and I said, "I shall have the mind of Christ. I shall have the mind of Christ." But not only did I quote it, I was about it, because the word says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication." So I prayed about it. I said, "Lord, you told me that I could have the mind of Christ." And do you know what? I haven't dealt with anxiety since. The word works. The word works. See, I'm a very fearful person. The worst case scenario that you think can happen, I think it can happen to me. That's just how I flow. So I had the Lord deliver me from fear, because his perfect love cast out all fear. And he hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So I'm telling you in this place, I know the word of God works. I know the word of God works. So the next time you go through something, ask yourself this question: what word am I standing on to get me through this? Because his word will not fail. God has already been where you are, and he's made a way. You shall have what the word says you can have. You shall be who the word says you can be. The word has the final say, because Jesus is the fulfillment and the embodiment of the word. John 1:1. For the word was in the beginning, the word was with God, and the word was God. That's your God. And that's your word that will not fail. And God said he hears our cry. And God said he's by our side. And God said our faith can move mountains. And I believe him. I believe the word of God. So if you could stand to your feet, the praise team's going to come. I believe the word of God. No word from God shall ever fail. For nothing is impossible with God. The word says you can be saved. The word says you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. The word says you can be healed. The word says you can be delivered. The word says you can be restored. The word says you can have peace. The word says you can have joy. Do you believe the word? Hallelujah. If this word is spoken to you and you say, I'm going to stand on the word of God. I may be going through it, but I'm going to stand on the word of God. Will you come to this altar so I can pray and believe with you? Hallelujah. This altar is open for you.